Kunjare Hari. Nama Palaka Sira Dharva Hari Nama Palaka Sira Dharva Hari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manasara Hari Yamuna Tira Manasara Hari Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Sabharvajika Jarasutera Siddha Shri Shimya's Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Viscount Founder Acharya Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Nandakota Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Namacharya Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Auspicious Appearance Day of Shri Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Samaveda Bhaktivinda Ki Jai Gaurava Premananda All glorious to the assembled devotees All glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to some of the devotees, all glorious to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Kanamane Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Vachani Nirvishesha Srinivari Paschacharya Sachani Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Since today is the very auspicious disappearance or departure day of Haridas Thakur, great Vaishnava Acharya, great devotee in our line, I thought I would read something about him. We don't usually, on a Sunday feast, so much go into areas of Chaitanya Charitamrita and the past Acharyas, but there's so many universal and very, very important points in the life of Haridas Thakur that I think it really makes great, a very, very good subject matter for our Sunday program. So I'm going to read from Ancha Lila, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ancha chapter 11, verse 39. Don't do this to me now. Okay. Haridasa Chila Pritta Virashi Romani Tahavina Ratna Shunya Haila Medini. Haridas Thakur was the crown jewel on the head of this world. Without him, this world is now bereft of this valuable jewel. And of course, this was spoken by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself on the disappearance of Haridas Thakur. So the life and the glorious departure of Haridas Thakur is a very important topic. During our prima donna Dhani prayers every day, we say, Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. You know, so in other words, he's really the only acharya we single out like that. So when you think about it, the importance whether Prabhupada included him like that in our prayers every day, because he was considered the Namacharya, or the exemplar, the acharya of the chanting of the holy name, which was so important, of course, to the Hare Krishna movement and to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So I think there's some important lessons that we can learn that go just beyond his specific life. And one is that, first of all, a Krishna consciousness is beyond bodily designations. It's truly the universal religion for all people of all races and religions. Secondly, the power and the importance of chanting the holy names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra, is exemplified in the life of Haridas Thakur. And then thirdly, just a little bit about Krishna's loving relationship with his devotees. And we see this so, we could speak forever about this, but it's so succinctly described in the actual disappearance time of Haridas Thakur, that I'm going to read that at the end. So we can just see this wonderful exchange of love between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotee, Haridas Thakur. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu greatly upset the existing social class system in India during the 15th century. And during that time period, the caste system was very much in place. Brahmanism held sway. In other words, you were born into a Brahmin class, you were on top. You did everything by the rules and regulations and rituals, and you didn't deviate very much from the place and the order that you had been put in by your karma in that society. But Lord Chaitanya did not really go along with that. He thought that spiritual life, not only thought, because he's a Supreme Personality of Godhead, he would say he dictated, he explained to us that Krishna consciousness, spiritual life is universal. It can be attained by anyone, and anyone can achieve the highest spiritual result regardless of one's birth, one's caste, one's race, religion, or any material bodily designations like that. And there are many examples that we see during his time. Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, for instance, were born in Brahmin families, but they worked for the Muslim ruler, the Nawab of Bengal. They were so intelligent that he wanted them to be his advisors in all of his governmental affairs. So he could go around and do whatever he did for fun, and have them basically run the government for him. And because they were working for the Mohammedan ruler, they lost all of their standing in Hindu society. They basically were considered to be the same as Muslims, really. So, in other words, they were outcasts. Now, they even had new names. What were the names? Dabir Khas and Satyar Malik, something like that? Anyway, yeah, and so basically, they gave up their service to the Nawab, and they joined Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu promoted them to his most intimate disciples. They were the leaders of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, wrote incredible books of philosophy on the science of Krishna consciousness, who had just, impeccable, pure love of God that they exhibited, even though they were not even considered to be anything, have any standing within the social order of Hindu society at that time. And so we see many examples like that. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu extended the access to spiritual life, to Krishna consciousness, to the holy name, even to animals and all living entities. When he was in the Jarikanda forest traveling, he induced the deer and the tigers to chant Hare Krishna and even get along with each other. And of course, we can't expect that anyone besides the Supreme Lord can do such a miraculous event. But the point was, anybody could take to Krishna consciousness, could be benefited by Krishna consciousness, had nothing to do with birth. Now that's where we come to Haridas Thakur. He was not even more than Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. He was actually born as a Mohammedan. He was born in the Muslim family of meat eaters. So he would have been considered a total outcast, malecha, untouchable by Hindu Brahminical society. And yet, he became one of the most intimate disciples of Lord Chaitanya. He was called Namacharya. That means the exemplar of the chanting of the holy name. The person who most exhibited the highest love of God by chanting Hare Krishna. Such an exalted position and such a beloved devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, was achieved by Haridas Thakur, having nothing to do with his birth or any past bodily designation like that. Now, why do we call him Namacharya? Well, first of all, he chanted 300,000 names of God per day. Now, that comes out to about 192 rounds a day. which in my calculations would take, even if I could do it, which I couldn't, would take 24 hours, basically, right? I mean, all day and all, you'd be just doing nothing but chanting, unless you were very, very fast, you know, a chanter. But, so in other words, just amazing. He was an amazing devotee in so many ways. And we'll talk about that. He also, he preached vigorously. He used to go to Lomachinanda Prabhu on Mahaprabhu on Sankirtan. And he was, of course, involved in the famous incident of Jagai Madai, where Madai threw a clay pot and hit Lomachinanda in the head. Haridas Thakura was with him then. And in so many ways, he was a very, very leading disciple, leading devotee. And we'll get into a little bit more about some of his preaching in a minute. Now, why did Lord Chaitanya make no distinction? Why did he risk even his own, perhaps, being a social outcast or being not accepted by the Hindu society by just taking in anybody and everybody? Because he had the understanding as the Supreme Lord and even as a pure, playing the part of a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord, he had that understanding. There is no distinction between anyone, any living entity based upon the body that they happen to be inhabiting, because of his understanding that all beings are equal spirit souls. And the spiritual essence that which is within aside, every living entity is what is important, not the external body. I was thinking about this in terms of so many recent events that come about. I remember a few years, it must have been maybe 6 months ago, there was one incident where a gunman, you know, we have all these mass shootings, you know, they're just horrible. You know, one gunman, he entered a Jewish temple and killed 11 people. For no reason, he didn't know them, he didn't have a grudge, there was no retaliation, and they call it a hate crime, which is appropriate. Why? Because he feared and hated people who were different from him. They were a different race, a different religion, and somehow that justified killing them. Now, that may seem almost incredulous to us, but yet we can go through our, you know, the history of many, many countries, including America and many Western countries, and we see civilization has not been very civilized often. And we see so many crimes of human beings, one against the other, just, you know, outrageous, and many of them based upon just differences. People are different. They look different. They're a different color, a different race, different ethnic background, different religion. And therefore, this incites people's misunderstanding, miscommunication, and ultimately fear and distrust. That is because in this material world, people are looking at the body. They aren't looking at the soul that is within that body, of which, where there is common ground for all of us. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to bring that common ground, the common ground of chanting the holy names of the Lord, and he wanted to bring this to every town and village in the world. He didn't say, well, I'm going to take this to everyone in India, so all the Indians will be Hare Krishna devotees. No. He said every town and village in the world. And we can see that many devotees took this up, but one devotee specifically took this up, you know, with great intent and with great success, and that was our own A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, you know, who took up the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following the example of the acharyas, of Haridas Thakur, and of all the great acharyas in bringing Krishna consciousness to everyone, even the lowest classes of people. That was us at the time. So this is very important. The Bhagavad Gita says, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen by desire and hate. So this hatred arises from delusion, bewilderment. And now, of course, today we're seeing these extreme examples of total delusion. And that delusion, again, is the bodily conception. I identify with my body, whether it's my gender, whether it's my race, whether it's the country of origin, and probably called the skin disease. But you know, whatever my skin is, that's important, and that's what's good, and everybody else is bad. You know, so thus we have this type of delusion, bewilderment, and we have so much strife between people. Of course, Kali Yuga is called the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. So fighting and quarrel are almost part of our nature, almost inborn with the people of Kali Yuga. And 12th, Srimad Bhagavatam, the 12th canto, describes this age 5,000 years ago. It predicted. Bhagavatam said, for the sake of conquering me, materialistic persons fight one another. Fathers oppose their sons, brothers fight one another, because their hearts are bound to possessing political power. Political leaders challenge one another. All this land is mine. It's not yours, you fool. Thus they attack one another and die. 5,000 years ago, and that's exactly what's happening today, we see, you know, war after war after war. You know, it almost doesn't matter what position or what ism that you prescribe to. The point is, this is going on, these kind of conflicts everywhere. Now, contrast this to the position of an advanced devotee, like Haridas Thakur, or to any of the great devotees. The Bhagavad Gita says, the humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahmin, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, or an outcast. So Samadarshana means one who sees with equal vision. And Bhagavad Gita 6.32 says, he is the perfect yogi who by comparison to his own self sees the true equality in all beings, in both their happiness and their distress, or Arjuna. So a devotee sees spiritual equality in all living beings. Now the spiritual realization, spiritual vision, is based upon two understandings or two realizations. One, that the super soul, Krishna within the heart, the Paramatma, pervades everything. And it's in everyone's heart. My heart, your heart, the dog, the tree, the grass, the blade of grass, the amoeba. Every living entity, super soul is there along with them. So when Krishna accompanies us birth after birth, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, although a Vaishnava is the most exalted person, he is prideless. And he gives all respect to everyone, knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna. In other words, Krishna is resting within our heart and everyone's heart. If God is there, how can we disrespect him? In other words, Krishna has chosen to reside in that living entity, so who are we to hate that living entity? You know, if Krishna is so kind and loving that he accompanies each one of us, life after life, birth after birth, through every possible body that we could inhabit. So, if each person living in has the soul and the super soul within, we have to recognize that spiritual existence. Now, the second part is that the spirit soul is within every living entity. Not only the super soul, Krishna is within, but the soul. Our soul, every one of ours. We have the spirit, the spark of consciousness is within every body. And so, that is the spiritual vision of seeing that commonality, the same qualities. Although every soul is unique, we all have our own unique eternal position and our eternal unique relationship with Krishna, still there's a great deal of commonality. We're all made of the same spiritual substance, Satchitananda. We are eternal, we're full of knowledge, we're full of bliss, we are all emanating from Krishna, we are all like sparks coming from the great fire of Krishna. And so Krishna is the common father. So we are all brothers and sisters. We all share the same father. So there's no reason not to have respect for all living entities. Canto 11, chapter 19 describes the qualities to advance in human life. And one of those is Satyam Cha Samadarshanam. Truth is seeing all beings as oneself in happiness and distress. Okay? And it's similar to some of the other verses from Bhagavad Gita. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says about that, truth means seeing equally everywhere. One should see others' suffering as one's own, giving up harsh qualities like envy and hatred. So, I experience suffering, I experience pain, so do you, so does everybody. We have the same commonality of experiences. And so we should have empathy and compassion for the suffering of all living entities, for others who are suffering like we do. You know. And even if we do not feel like we're particularly suffering, we can still understand that others are, if one has a little intelligence, a little compassion and perspective. So we understand another's suffering, we feel some empathy, some compassion. Srila Prabhupada said, there is a saying, the happiness of wealth is enjoyable by a person who has tasted the distress of poverty. There's also another common saying, Vandya ki bhujive prasava vedana. Well, some people understand that one. Okay, some of you who speak Sanskrit, Sanskrit. A woman who has not given birth to a child cannot understand the pain of childbirth. And every woman will tell who's had a child will tell you that. You don't understand. So we know that's true. So this is part of the idea of empathy or compassion. This isn't like some sentiment, oh, I feel so bad. This is actually spiritual vision and having that understanding that people are suffering in this material world and we can feel compassion for them and actually want to help them. And that was exactly the position of someone like Haridas Thakur. So Jiva Goswami in the Bhaktisiddhanta discusses the importance of this equal vision. He says, seeing with eyes of non-difference everywhere is the best vision. And I know someone's going to ask this, so Jiva Goswami answers it for us. He says, while seeing with equal vision, some distinctions are made. So the body asks, well, does that seem everything's the same and everything's one and we just, you know? Well, no. Use your intelligence. Some distinctions are made. He says, he quotes from the Bhagavatam 3:29, gradation of living entities based on the development of senses and consciousness. He says, like development of senses amongst living beings. Trees have the sense of sight and smell. Dogs have all the senses like that. That's actually a really interesting chapter. I went back and looked at that when I was reading this in the Sundarbhas, 3:29 in the Bhagavatam. It actually explains how plants and animals have different degrees of developed senses. You know, like trees have a sense of sight. I was thinking, you know, and other plants, you know, I was thinking like I was growing beans, pole beans, you know, they put out these little shoots where they climb up a trellis. And I swear, you can almost see, you know, they almost see it. They just start heading over for it and climb up it, you know. So you can actually see these things practically, you know, it's true. Now, human beings are a little bit unique because not only do they have fully developed senses, but we have higher consciousness. We have the ability to understand human knowledge. So while we see that same spirit soul, we have compassion for our living entities, still we make some distinction in relationships, is what Jiva Goswami says. And Srila Prabhupada in one purport says, the tiger has super soul in the heart, but we don't make friendships with the tiger. That could be a little dangerous, right? But we do give the tiger and other animals prashadam. So in other words, we show compassion, but we may not want to get too close to the tiger. So there's a little bit of discrimination intelligence involved. And Jiva Goswami concludes, the highest respect should always be given to devotees, but respect should be given to all others as much as possible. To the degree that it's possible, that it's warranted, we respect everyone and everything. Okay? So, Bhagavatam 3:20 and 3:34, such a perfect devotee offers respect to every living entity because he's under the firm conviction that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has entered the body of every living entity as the supersoul or controller. Which is quite a contrast to our political climate of contempt and hatred and everything else that we see and experience. Now, Haridas Thakur was the Namacharya. And acharya means one who shows by example. It's described that a real spiritual master or an acharya, a great devotee acharya, he shows by precept and by example. In other words, by one's words and by one's deeds. And in fact, it was even described, some people speak very nicely, but they don't act so well. And some people act very nicely, but they can't really communicate the philosophy very well. And someone like Haridas Thakur could do both. He was a great preacher of Krishna consciousness and a fantastic example of Krishna consciousness. Now, there's a nice example of this in Anchalila chapter 3, which is called The Glories of Haridas Thakur. I don't know if I'm going to have time to read all these. He said, everyone there began to speak of Haridas Thakur's great qualities as if they had five mouths. Hearing this, the brothers, Hiranyan and Govardhan, who he was guest at, were extremely happy. Some of them said, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one's free from reactions of sinful life. Others said, simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, a living being is liberated from material bondage. But Haridas Thakur protested, these two benedictions are not the true result of chanting the holy name. actually by chanting the holy name without offense, one awakens his ecstatic love for the lotus feet of Krishna. When a person actually advances and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he's agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He laughs, cries, and chants like a madman, not caring for outsiders. Liberation and extinction of the reactions of sinful life are two concomitant byproducts of chanting the holy name. So, he continued on for quite a way. And then he talked about this idea of Namabhasa. That just by the beginning awakening of Krishna consciousness, he says it's the word as we use like Bhaskar, which means like dawn, or like the early in the morning when the sun comes out, you're just beginning to see, you know, everything. And so it's that way with us. Even at the beginning of Krishna consciousness, the holy name is just beginning to arise within our hearts and beginning to express itself. But even by that very beginning, neophyte understanding, it's amazing things happen. This amazing benediction to the living entity. You know, and as he said, not only does one become liberated, but eventually, in time, Krishna prema will develop within the heart. So, he had that faith in the power of the holy name to purify the conditioned soul. Because chanting the heart of Hare Krishna is the perfect process. It's both the means and the end of spiritual life. And so, one's heart must be pure to fully realize Krishna. But even if one is not totally pure, the chanting is the best practice for all types of devotees. And Haridas Thakura was explaining that. It wasn't just some esoteric thing that only a few advanced people. No, he was saying everybody can benefit, can be drawn in by the chanting of Hare Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, so many verses confirm this. Bhagavatam 2.1.11 says, this is the doubtless and fearless process for all types of devotees. And chanting will bring one from the stages of karma, dhyana, and bhakti. Chanting purifies the heart of the conditioned soul. This is explained, of course, in the story of Ajamil. I'll just read this. Bhagavatam 6.2.17. This is the Vishnu Dutas say to the Amadutas, although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. So even if one becomes purified, those same material desires, they come back, right? However, if one serves the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, he's immediately freed from all such contaminations. And then also in chapter 2, same chapter there, a few verses earlier, Ajamil had already atoned for all of his sinful reactions. Indeed, he has atoned not only for sins performed in one's life, but for those performed in millions of lives. For in a helpless condition, he chanted the holy name of Narayan. Even though he did not chant purely, he chanted without offense. And therefore, he is now pure and eligible for liberation. So, of course, Haridas Thakur, and when he was talking at that assembly, he mentioned the story of Ajamil as an example of how one can be easily brought to the highest level of spiritual life, in this case, almost by accident, by chanting the name of his son, Narayan. Still, he got that benediction. So, I want to read a verse here. This is Bhagavatam 11.255. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the conditioned souls that they call upon him by speaking his holy name. Even unintentionally or unwillingly, the Lord is inclined to destroy innumerable sinful reactions in their hearts. Therefore, when a devotee who's taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, the Supreme Personality can never give up the heart of such a devotee. One who has thus captured the Supreme Lord within his heart is to be known as a Bhagavat Pradhana, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. So Haridas Thakur is a great example of a devotee who through his chanting and his devotional service won the heart of the Lord. Krishna consciousness is a reciprocal relationship between God and his devotees. It's not one way. We are trying to learn to love God, but Krishna has so much love for us, far more than we can possibly ever return to him. But if a devotee is very sincere, Krishna says he gives himself to that devotee. And we'll see this with Haridas Thakur. So I'm going to read this just a few minutes. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anshalila, chapter 11. I've skipped a few verses, edited for sake of time. Haridas Thakur is now quite old and ill and unable to chant all his rounds. You know, probably can only chant, 180 now. He speaks to Lord Chaitanya, "I have one desire for a very long time. I think that quite soon, my Lord, you will bring to close your pastimes within this material world. I wish that you not show me this closing chapter of your pastimes. Before that time comes, kindly let my body fall down in your presence. I wish to catch your lotus-like feet upon my heart and see your moon-like face. With my tongue I shall chant your holy name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. That is my desire. Kindly let me give up my body in this way. O merciful Lord, if by your mercy it is possible, grant this desire. Let this low-born body fall down before you. You can make this possible, this perfection of all my desires." The next morning, after visiting the Jagannath Temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accompanied by all his devotees, went hastily to see Haridas Thakur. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees came before Haridas Thakur, who offered his respects to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, "My dear Haridas, what is the news?" Upon hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately began great congregational chanting in the courtyard. The Krishna Pandit was the chief dancer. Headed by Swarup Damodar Goswami, all the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu surrounded Haridas Thakur and began congregational chanting. In front of all the great devotees, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to describe the holy attributes of Haridas Thakur. As he described the transcendental attributes of Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seemed to possess five mouths. The more he described, the more his great happiness increased. After hearing the transcendental qualities of Haridas Thakur, all the devotees present were struck with wonder. They all offered their respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit down in front of him and then fixed his eyes like two bumblebees on the lotus face of the Lord. He held the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his heart, and he took the dust of the feet of all the devotees present and put on his head. He began to chant the holy name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya again and again. As he drank the sweetness of the face of the Lord, tears constantly glided down from his eyes. While chanting the holy name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he gave up his air of life and left his body. Can you imagine such an auspicious way to leave your body? Looking at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu holding his feet. Seeing the wonderful death of Haridas Thakur by his own will, which was just like a great mystic yogi's, everyone remembered the passing away of Bhishma. Of course, Bhishma Dev was able to pick the time of his death. He could, delay his departure until it was an auspicious time when Krishna was in front of him. There was a tumultuous noise as they all chanted the holy names Hari and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. He raised the body of Haridas Thakur and placed it on his lap. He began to dance in the courtyard in great ecstatic love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced for some time, and then Swarup Damodar Goswami informed him there were other rituals for the body of Thakur Haridas. The body of Thakur Haridas was raised on a carrier and taken to the sea, accompanied by congregational chanting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in front of the procession, along with the other devotees chanted and danced behind him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed the body of Haridas Thakur in the sea and then declared, "From this day on, this sea has become a great pilgrimage site." Everyone drank the water that had touched the lotus feet of Haridas Thakur and smeared the remnants of Lord Jagannath's sandalwood pulp all over Haridas Thakur's body. So then they buried him in the sand and chanted for some time. Then they all bathed in the sea, and then they went back to the city, and then the Lord Chaitanya devotees arranged a huge feast in loving memory of Haridas Thakur. That was a very, very wonderful part of the pastime. So then, I'll skip ahead. Overwhelmed with ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered a benediction to all the devotees, which all the devotees heard with great satisfaction. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this benediction. Anyone who has seen the festival of Sri Haridas Thakura passing away, anyone who has chanted and danced here, anyone who offered sand on the body of Haridas Thakura, and anyone who joined this festival to partake of the prasadam will achieve the favor of Krishna very soon. There is such wonderful power in seeing Haridas Thakura. Being merciful upon me, Krishna gave me the association of Haridas Thakura. Being independent in his desire, he has now broken that association. When Haridas Thakura wanted to leave this material world, it was not within my power to detain him. Simply by his will, Haridas Thakura could give up his life and go away, exactly like Bhishma, who previously died simply by his own desire, as we have heard from Shastra. Haridas Thakura was the crown jewel on the head of this world. Without him, the world is now bereft of its valuable jewel. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then told everyone, say all glories to Haridas Thakura and chant the holy name of Hari. Saying this, he personally began to dance. Everyone began to chant, all glories to Haridas Thakura, who revealed the importance of chanting the holy name of the Lord. So that's just one wonderful example of how the Lord reciprocates with his devotees, the great loving exchange that was there between Haridas and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and how much he showed that love for him, and how much he showed the devotees how important a devotee's life was, and how important it was for someone who was so dedicated to chanting the holy names of Krishna. Okay? So we should remember these things. Here was Haridas Thakura, born in a Muslim family, an outcast from Hindu society, elevated to this wonderful position of the most confidential associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So we're a little bit late. Probably people need to go, but there's a question or two. Yes, please.
Haridas Thakura and Sanatana Goswami were both forbidden in the Jagannath temple.
Yes.
But Lord Chaitanya said they could worship Sri Chaitanya chakra on the top house instead of nine different.
Yeah. That he could worship the chakra. Also, the other thing that's really significant about that is because Haridas Thakura was more or less forbidden, or he disagreed, sort of, I think, to follow the restriction, the custom. I said Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally visit him every day. Because of that. So in other words, it turned out to be almost more of a benediction that he got the personal darshan of Lord Chaitanya since he couldn't go into the Jagannath temple.
Right. It says in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that once the mind is peaceful, so mind, can you hear?
No.
It says in the Bhagavad Gita, once the mind is peaceful, the super soul is already reached. And you once said right here, the way to make decisions is Shastra, Sadhu, Guru, and then the super soul. How does one hear the super soul? How does that work? How do you do it?
How do you hear the super soul? Well, there's many ways to answer that. Of course, as one is elevated, becomes advanced, you know, one is able to more and more be in touch with Krishna and the super soul. Before we are at the platform of directly seeing Krishna's Bhagavan feature, you know, in Vrindavan, an intermediate step might be for one to be more in touch with Krishna and the super soul feature. Although, there's another way of looking at it too, and this is something Prabhupada said. He said that the form correction of super soul is the intelligence. So in other words, if we try to, he said, use your intelligence, look within, and super soul will help guide you through your intelligence. So sometimes you might not even be aware that it's directly super soul guiding you. But if you're really sincere and saying, Krishna, help me, give me intelligence to do this, the super soul will help guide you in that way. Prabhupada said that.
What?
Yeah.
Sincerity is infallible.
Like that.
Sincerity is infallible.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.